Hello, I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. I'm Tom Cooper, and I am so glad that you have joined me for this lesson. Today, we're talking about making trade-offs so that we can get the thing that we really want. Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. As Eric Hoffer says, he says, this is deep and it's challenging. He says, people will cling to an unsatisfactory way of life rather than change in order to get something better for fear of getting something worse. People will cling to an unsatisfactory way of life rather than change in order to get something better for fear of getting something worse. And Lead Yourself First is your system to help you make the changes you need to make in order to grow and expand your horizons. Now, this lesson's a good one, and you've got more potential than you can even imagine. I believe in you. You can do amazing things, and this lesson on trade-offs, well, it's a challenging one. We're going to be looking at ways to pull you out of your comfort zone and consider what if. What if your life was an amazing adventure? Now, before we jump into the content of today's lesson, I'm going to ask you what I always ask for these lessons, and that is, what are you going to do differently? How are you going to act at the end of this process? ACT is an acronym: apply, change, teach. What can you use? What can you put into practice immediately? What can you change about the way you're doing things? And what can you teach others? You want to be a river, not a reservoir. We want to be able to share what we're learning as we're learning. It's part of our journey together. Now, I've been looking forward to this lesson. I look forward to it because we all make trade-offs every day. Each day, we make the choices that make us. We decide whether we're going to settle for more of the same or if we're going to stretch and grow. Now, in the next few minutes, we're going to unpack some gold when it comes to making tough choices. And if you'll take just one idea from today and put it into practice for the next 30 days, you are not going to believe the good things that are going to come for you in this process. But you might also want some help with your journey. And if that's you, I'm going to share with you a way at the end that you can get some help. Fair enough? This lesson is all about making trade-offs. The fact is, you can have everything that you want, you just can't have it all at once. Years ago, I remember working as a technology management guy back when my oldest kids were little, and I wanted to move ahead at work, and I wanted to be a good husband and a good father. I wanted all those things. And I remember hearing a message from the CEO of Coca-Cola Enterprises, Brian Dyson. He said, imagine life as a game in which you are juggling some 5 balls in the air. You name the balls work, family, health, friends, and spirit. And you're keeping all these in the air. You will soon understand that work is a rubber ball. If you drop it, it will bounce back. But the other 4 balls, family, health, friends, and spirit, are made of glass. If you drop one of these, they'll be irrevocably scuffed, marked, nicked, damaged, or even shattered. They will never be the same. You must understand that and strive for balance in your life. What does that even mean? It means we need to carefully choose which of those 5 balls we might allow to slip from our grasp. It means we need to be intentional about the choices that we make. But how can we make trade-offs related to our work? How do we do that in a way that lets us achieve life goals? In our lives, we have to make trade-offs. Nobody has it all, at least not all at once. But in our culture, we are confused. We're told a lie. We're told that we can have it all. No payments for 90 days, a sign and drive event, no consequences, get it now, enjoy it now, buy now, pay later, 90 days, same as cash. Now, I'm just going to go on a small rabbit trail here. In the financial world, that idea of 90 days, same as cash, it's a scam. We've got an upcoming lesson in the program on finances, but I don't have time to cover that in today's lesson. But I will say this, 91% of the people who sign up for that deal, 90 days, same as cash, 91% of those people end up paying the interest. If you pick that option, you're saying, look, I'm one of the 9%, and the bank is going to take that deal all day long. They're happy to take that bet because they win 91% of the time. Got to be careful about that. So we live in this fast food, this microwave culture, and we have these TV shows and these movies that present people as having an amazing career, a great marriage with lots of unbelievably great experiences. Mom and dad are incredibly involved with kid activities, and of course the family does a ton of volunteer work. All the kids are straight A students, and they're involved in competitive travel sports and in band. There are 168 hours in a week. 24 hours each day, 7 days in a week. That's it. None of us gets any more time than that. And what it means is we have to make trade-offs. No one can do all those things I just listed, and nobody can do that with excellence. And all those years ago, I wanted to be a great husband, a great dad, and a great employee. And that was the vision I had for my life. But then I had five kids, 5 years old and younger. I found that something had to give. I just couldn't do everything. So I had to shift my perspective. My wife was great at helping me think through this. She gave me the concept of thinking about a season of life. When I had all those little kids at home, it was irrational to think that I could be great at home and great at work for long hours. And I can recall in those days, my wife and I were both tired a lot, and she would regularly call me around 4:30 and say, "You're getting ready to come home, right?" And I'd go home a little early, and then after the kids were in bed, I'd work a little bit more to make up for lost time. And I'm grateful that I had a job that allowed me to do that in that season. But the reality was that when I was doing that, I was not going to be skyrocketing up the career ladder. Not during that season. I was making a trade-off. And later when my kids got bigger, I was able to commit a different time and different energy to work and less at home. And I traded off to find some of that balance. And that leads me to what John Maxwell calls the law of trade-offs. John says you have to give up to grow up. The law of trade-offs is giving up something of a lesser value for something of a higher value. You're giving up something of a lesser value for something of a higher value. Interestingly, when we look at most successful business leaders, we may think that they all sacrifice their family to achieve their career goals, but the stats actually say otherwise. When we look at the numbers, about half of the most successful business leaders have given up family for financial rewards, but the other half have not. So it's not a foregone conclusion that if you want a solid family, you have to give up career success. But you do have to give something up. And what would you need to give up? Well, in my example that I gave about my family, I had to give up on that fast track at work because there were other people who could work more hours and work harder and do more than I could do in that season of my life. And ultimately, I chose to do that because I saw that the goal of being an involved dad was higher value to me than the goal of being on a fast track in my career. For me, it was a higher value to be connected at home during that season than it was to be fully immersed at work. And that paid off for me because I valued making the time to be with family. And John Maxwell talks about this law in the book, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. He says he believes that unsuccessful people make bad trade-offs. Average people make few trade-offs, and successful people make good trade-offs. The question is, when you find yourself at a point where you need to make a trade-off, do you choose more or do you choose less? Do you choose growth or do you choose comfort? And if I'm going to be transparent with you, I often choose comfort over growth. Early in my career, before I married my wife and started having kids, career opportunities were pretty solid for me. I'd studied in a field that was in high demand, and I found that companies did want my talents, and they wanted them badly enough to offer me pay raises and increased responsibilities to get me to make the switch from one place to another. And I didn't have much downside. I mean, there was little risk to me moving from one place to another. I was getting more pay, and if I wanted to leave, I could. And as I progressed on my journey of personal growth, I began to greatly value strong leadership skills. I'd been reading books and going to conferences and seeking training on how to be a better leader. And then I applied those ideas in the workplace. I loved it. And unfortunately, I grew faster than my leaders were growing. And I say unfortunately because John teaches us that naturally we follow leaders who are stronger in leadership than ourselves. And my leadership capacity outgrew my boss's leadership capacity, and I got his job. And as I continued on my leadership growth journey, I outgrew the leadership skills of the next couple of layers of leadership in the company. And it wasn't because I was all that great. It was that the other people weren't even trying to grow. And during that season, my wife came alongside me, and she offered some sage advice. She said, "Tom, you need to leave." But I didn't want to leave. I liked the team I had built. I liked my boss, and I hate change. I didn't want to have to start all over again someplace else, but my wife was right. She said, "Tom, you know that leadership matters to you, and you can see that the company just doesn't value leadership. If you want to continue to grow, you're going to have to move on." And she was right, but I am stubborn. It took me 3 years to quit. I had to trade off something of lesser value for something of greater value. So what did I trade? I left a director-level position in a Fortune 500 company to become employee number 17 at a software startup. I gave up the perceived security of a job where I felt like I had almost 0% chance of getting fired to go to work for a tiny company where people did come and go. Now, why would I give up security, the security of the known, for something uncertain? Because I knew that I valued leadership growth far more than I valued my perceived safety and security. And I intentionally have said it's perceived safety and security because I believe that most of what we see as risks in life are really just a myth. I've got a lesson I teach called The Myth of Risk, and it tackles this topic exactly. But ultimately, I needed to give up in order to grow up. Was it all rainbows and unicorns in the new place? No. It turns out in the new job, I made one of the two business partners mad, and I made him mad fairly often. And over the next 3 years, two separate occasions, he took away all of my job responsibilities. Now, I still got a paycheck, but I was responsible for an entire part of the company one day, and the next day I wasn't. And that hurt. So let's talk about you for a minute. What do you want? Is your current path going to get you what you want? What kind of trade-offs do you need to make to get what you want? These are questions only you can answer. And I want to encourage you that you can make trade-offs too. You can be looking critically at your life and thinking, well, what do I really want? If my life was amazing, what would I be doing? My mom and my dad met when they were in junior high. They dated through high school and they started college. They fell in love. They got married. They had a child, my older sister, while they were still in school. Now, unfortunately, they were unable to manage the challenges of supporting themselves and handling school at the same time, and they dropped out. Over the next 20 years, they just scraped by, trying to find a path without a formal education. And eventually, my mom got a job working for a doctor, and that doctor valued education, and he offered her a benefit. He would pay for work-related classes if she would take them. But my mom was working full-time, and by this time, she was in her 40s, and she'd been away from school for a very long time. How would she be able to maintain the life that she had built? But she'd always regretted dropping out of school. And one of her life goals was to get a degree. So what did Mom do? She made a trade-off. She traded off something of lesser value for something of greater value. She signed up for those college classes, and she made a ton of adjustments in her life to make it possible to do school. And over the next several years, she took more and more classes, and she eventually earned her degree. My dad was inspired by her example, and he started taking classes too. Both Mom and Dad completed their undergraduate degrees, and I'm so proud of them. Oh, that was super hard. That really inspired me. So what about you? What is it that you want in life? What might you have to give up to get what you want? What risk might you have to take to get it? And here's something we haven't even touched on yet. When we make those trade-offs, we are becoming someone different. We are growing and we are stretching. And growth is what happens outside your comfort zone. It was scary for my mom and my dad to go back to school. It was scary for me to quit that job in the big company for a tiny company. But along the journey, I grew and I grew and I grew. And my former position, that former role, it didn't fit me anymore. I needed to do something different. Now, I mentioned that early in my career, it was easy to find new opportunities with greater responsibility and more pay. I got used to those, and I didn't feel like I had to give much up. But I had to stop asking myself, how much more will I get from this? And I had to start to ask, how much will this opportunity challenge me to grow? Because this much I know. Growth leads to great outcomes. Growth leads to greater capacity. Growth allows me to be ready when an opportunity presents itself. You see, when opportunity comes, it's too late to start your preparation. When opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. So we have to prepare before the opportunity comes. We need to be growing before we make a move. You have to ask, how much will I grow? And as we continue to grow, more and more opportunities will become available. I was talking with a client. She was earning a decent income in her job, but she just didn't like the way the company had been treating her. And she was recruited by another company. Now, the new company couldn't pay her as much money. And she took a pay cut to go work for the other company. Why in the world would you do that? Because the new company valued her as a person. She was willing to trade something of lesser value, money, for something of greater value, respect. And in time, the owner of the new company began to appreciate her so much that her pay was increased. Eventually, she became the most senior leader in that new company with higher pay than she had before and the kind of respect that feeds her soul. But it wouldn't have happened for her if she'd not been willing to do two things. One, she had to be willing to make a trade-off with no promise of success. And two, she had to grow and continue to stretch and grow in her new role. And it paid off. So let's come back to you. What do you want and what are you willing to trade to get it? The challenge that we face is that the loss of the trade is felt before we get any gain. And there's a season of discomfort, and there's a need to stretch outside our comfort zone. And as we grow and we take on these new areas, as we win, that can be exciting. But there's a cost to winning, too. I can think of a number of challenging times in my life, times when I felt like I was just barely hanging on, times I was trying to endure a challenge that was stretching me and it hurt. And I remember thinking, can't I just be done? Can't it be over? And while it can be over, it leads to something Henry Kissinger said. Each success only buys your admission ticket to a more difficult problem. Each success only buys your admission ticket to a more difficult problem. You see, when we stretch and we grow and we overcome, that prepares us for the opportunity that's ahead of us. And when it comes, it too is often a tall mountain, a hard climb. But growth is worth it. So as we're getting ready to close today's lesson, I want to give you five trade-offs that you might consider. And I want you to be thinking about which, if any of these, apply to your life. One, am I willing to give up financial security today for potential tomorrow? That's what my client did, and today she's the director of operations for a company she loves. What do you want? Do you see potential in an opportunity in front of you? Might it be worth making that trade-off for you? Two, am I willing to give up immediate gratification for personal growth? Immediate gratification is almost always the enemy of your growth. Are you going to choose to please yourself now, or would you choose to delay while you're making a trade-off for something that could be so much better? Three, and this is a rich one, am I willing to give up the fast life for the good life? Am I willing to give up the fast life for the good life? Remember I said we have this lie in our culture that we can have it all, and we can have it all now? What if you could live the good life, where the good life is defined by living in the place you belong, with the people you love, doing the right work on purpose? Living in the place you belong, with the people you love, doing the right work on purpose. That's what authors Leder and Shapiro, that's how they describe the good life. Number four, am I willing to give up security for significance? Are you looking for emotional security, physical security, financial security? The fact is, in our culture today, almost everybody is able to make a living. That's the safe thing. But significance is when you're making a real difference. John Maxwell says the great men and women of history were not great because of what they earned or owed, but rather for what they gave their lives to accomplish. What are you willing to trade your life for? And number five, am I willing to give up addition for multiplication? What if you took seriously your development of leadership potential? Developing your skills and influencing other people will allow you to have a greater impact through others than you could have on your own. If you invest in others, that's going to multiply the impact. And that's why I always say we want to be a river, not a reservoir. Pass it on. Invest yourself in other people. All right, it's about time for our personal action plan. We're going to talk through a couple of things from today's lesson, and I want you to think about what you're going to apply, change, or teach. First, which of those five balls are you letting hit the ground today? Work, family, health, friends, or spirit? Which ball of those needs more of your care or more of your attention? Have you made any trade-offs recently? What kind of trade-offs have you made? What is it that you really want? And what are you willing to give up to get it? What are you investing your life in? What in your life has lesser value? What has greater value? Will you grow or will you stay put? Now let me get really practical. Whatever role you're in today, are you really, really good at it? If you're not, what would it take for you to become really, really good at it? And if you are already really, really good at what you're doing, is there another role you could pursue? Maybe another opportunity? Could you do a tour of duty or a short-term work assignment in another area? Could you be cross-trained to have some new skills? What would it be worth to you to have some new skills? What would it be worth to have opportunities? Are you willing to make a trade-off? Is there something you can give up to get you closer to your goal? Which of those things can you apply, change, or teach? Now, maybe you're with your team as you're listening to this, and this would be a good opportunity to talk about trade-offs that the team could make. Now, I mentioned earlier in the lesson that you might want some help with growing and stretching in this area. And if that's you, I've got a 4-session coaching program on John Maxwell's book, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. I love that book. It is a great resource on personal growth that will let us go into more depth than we can cover in a lesson like this. And I'd love to do that with you or with your team. The cost is $249. And in these 4 sessions, you're going to examine 15 different areas like this one. You'll have accountability to take action on the things you say you want. And you'll have practical ways to apply what you're learning. Sound interesting? Drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com, tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Hey, thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.